everyone, and welcome back to Maya's Reviews, the book podcast and blog. If you're new here, welcome, and I hope you stick around. So today is actually a very special episode. It's not a review, I know, weird. So today, I know I've been talking about this for forever, and today, for the 20th episode, which we have made it to 20 episodes, everybody, round of applause. That is amazing. Let's go. Awesome. For the 20th episode, I really wanted to take a break from reviews because I do a lot of reviews. I do one a week for my blog and one a week for my podcast. A lot of the times, both are the same book. But for the 20th episode, I am doing a Q&A. So if you didn't know, for the past, I don't know, like month or so, probably more, some of you amazing, lovely people have sent in questions about how I run my blog, just myself, because after a year or so of blogging and a couple months of podcasting, I've never talked about myself or introduced myself as a person. You guys know my name is Maya. I have a dog named Poppy, and I like ABBA, and that is it, pretty much. So I really wanted to take today as kind of a bonus episode, since this is coming out on Friday, today, to kind of answer your questions. So I have my nice little sheet here. So you hear that? That's paper. Wow. So if you hear crinkling, that is why. And I have some really awesome questions from a couple people who asked a lot of questions. So just thank you to everyone who sent in questions. And just thank you all so much for sticking with me for 20 episodes. It's crazy to me that people like to hear me talk about books. So just thank you so much. And let's get started. First question, this is from Eric. What is your process for recording an episode? So I usually wait until I have a review for the book that I'm reviewing. So, because it's sort of, for me, like a basic script with key points that I need to mention. And usually during a review, I'll either add more on, cut parts out of my blog review, stuff like that. So that way it's not the exact same content both times, but it's also more accessible and enjoyable to some people. Because I know, you know, sometimes I don't like reading that much, which is crazy for someone who literally reviews books. But, you know, listening to a podcast while doing work or writing or whatever you're doing can actually be really nice. I have this nice little setup in my room. Nice is not the right word, but it's a setup for sure. I basically have this desk. It's tiny. It's pretty much a school desk. Think that, except it's blue. And I basically have my laptop, which is ancient and huge. It's very thick and heavy on there. And I pretty much leave it plugged in because that thing dies 24/7. And I have my mic, my headphones, and I usually have any and all tabs I need loaded on my computer. I use a Blue Snowball Ice mic with, by the way, for a pop filter, I literally just use tights, like the end of tights where your foot would go. I cut that around my mic and sewed it so that in the back it can plug into my computer without damaging the USB. So, we're working with bare minimum, but we're doing it. We're doing it. Because the Blue Snowball Ice mic is actually really nice. This isn't an ad or anything, but just like, for any of you who want to start a podcast, I highly recommend starting with it because it's really, really helpful. It's really nice and it has a decent audio. And like I said, literally just tights for a pop filter. And I also use, what are these headphones? I use Empow headphones. They are Bluetooth, but I just plug them in because Bluetooth is spotty with this ancient computer. And then I use Audacity to record. Not Audacity, like they have some Audacity, but for real, it's a recording and editing program for audio. And it's also free, which is really nice. And it's very, I don't know, not advanced, but really well put together. And so I record and edit on there because I originally recorded and edited with Anchor, which is how I distribute my podcasts and put the intro and outro and ads and all that stuff together. But I ran into issues with that early on where it would mix around the different segments because I'd have different segments so that I could put the ad and intro and stuff like that in there. And it would mess up and I was like, well, this is crappy. I'll switch. But I still use Anchor. That's where I upload the finished file as an MP3 because if you have longer episodes, it doesn't upload unless it's an MP3 to Anchor. And then I add, you know, the ads, transitions, intro and outro music, stuff like that. I also use Tune to Tube or something like that. It takes audio files and makes them YouTube videos because you can't just upload an MP3 file to YouTube. And that's how I also get podcast episodes on there. What do you mean, knowing how to do things? Jeez. But it's actually really simple. It just takes me a long time because I get distracted. And also listening to yourself is also really, really awkward. So it's really helpful. Audacity and Anchor are really amazing. I actually started using Anchor because they have been paired with WordPress, which is what I use for my blog. So it's really helpful. So thank you so much, Eric, for asking that question. That's my process for recording and uploading an episode. And now we have a few questions from AOM. Their first question, how far do you think you will go with reviews? I honestly would love to do this forever. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, too, because you have to read a book. You have to remember things from it, like, in detail. You have to think about your thoughts on it. You have to, you have to review it, and I also have to record for it. So, it's a lot, but if you get in the habit of reading like one book a week and you want to review one book a week, you can do it. I believe in you and you can. But I honestly have no plans to stop until I die. So you guys are going to be here forever. I mean, it's crazy to think about what I'm going to be doing in the future because I truly have no idea. I have no idea when I would stop or stuff like that. It's because I read a lot and it's just kind of an extra step for me because I will never stop reading. I know that for a fact. I will never stop. I will always find time to read at least one book a year, right? I'm going to read. So I'm hoping as long as I'm able to read, I'll be able to do reviews too. And another question from them, is this a viable career option? So, you can definitely make some money off of blogging and podcasting. For me, money hasn't necessarily been a motive as to why I started it. I started my blog originally because I was bored and I had no new books that I had to read and I was bored and I really wanted to have a platform where I could talk to people about books because I hadn't been reading really popular books, so a lot of the books I had been reading were not as well known as others, and I was kind of like, has anyone out here had the same experience as me? So it's been really cool to meet people who, you know, don't necessarily read super popular books, so they can't really talk about it with other people. But it is definitely nice to make a few extra bucks. It really depends on how successful you are, though. I found it is much easier to make money off a podcast rather than a blog. Because with WordPress, I'm pretty sure you have to buy or you have to subscribe for a specific subscription plan to be able to earn money off of ads and stuff from your blog. But with podcasting on Anchor, I got sponsored by Anchor maybe a week. Literally pretty much immediately. And depending on the rate of the sponsor, you know, for like every 15 or for every 1,000 views, you could earn $15, which, you know, in grand scheme of things, isn't that much money, but it's still money. So it's definitely, I haven't earned any money off of my blog, but I definitely have off the podcast. So also too, you gotta think, you know, when authors send you books or publishers send you books, that is money, you know, like they're taking money out of their pocket to send you a book. So they're paying you in books, because, you know, they could send you money and have you buy the book, but they're just sending you the book. So for me, that hasn't really been a motive, but for sure, if you want to make money off a blog or a podcast, you can for sure do that. I wouldn't recommend this as a full-time job, because you're probably not going to make enough money to sustain yourself, pay the bills and stuff. Like, you're not going to make enough money to do that. But if you really, really like blogging and podcasting, you know, it's a nice little bonus that you can make some money. Awen's next question, how was it working with Charles Vachter? Okay, so, it was absolutely surreal. I kind of had a mini stroke when I got his email. It still hasn't really processed yet that I talked to an author, let alone one of my favorites. So basically what happened is I had reviewed The Twin Paradox by Charles Vachter, which is the first novel in the series, on my blog first. And then I started my podcast, and, you know, I started my blog with a review of The Lost Years of Merlin by T.A. Barron, and then I did the same with my podcast because I was like, oh, we've come full circle. Haha, let's go. And so for my second episode, I think, I had decided, you know, I'm going to do a newer review. This is a new one that I recently did, so I'll review it on my podcast now too. So I did that for, I think, my second episode, and then a few weeks later, I think, I have been looking at other bloggers, and I saw, you know, like, author chats, author interviews, stuff like that, and I was like, you know what, I might as well add that to my publicity request page, which originally had just been my review policy, because at the time, that is all I had been doing was reviews. I had never before interviewed someone, ever. And I had decided, you know, I might as well add this. I doubt it's going to happen, but I'll add it just in case. And then a day later, I opened my email, and I was expecting, like, spam email from Book Riot or, I don't know, like, readers, blah, 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 whatever I'm subscribed to on my email. I was just expecting spam. And then I opened up my email, and Charles Vachter is there. And I'm like, hello. And I read the email, and it was like, I really liked your episode. I think it was cool. You know, do you want to do a... Do you want to talk about my series so far? And I'm like, I sat there and I nearly cried. I'm not even joking. Like, I sat there in shock for a good 30 minutes. Because, like, I loved the novel and I loved his work. And I was so excited. I'm still excited about it, even though it's already happened. And I pretty much just didn't know what to do, and I freaked out. And then I sat there, like, every 2 minutes, I would look at the email to make sure it was real. I'm like, is this a joke? Is this a prank? Is this my friends trying to be assholes? Or, you know, I was trying to come up with a rational idea why Charles Vachter would be in my email inbox, but it was actually him. And, you know, we set up a time, and I sat there before the Zoom, like, sweating, wanting to cry because I was so nervous. And, I'm surprised I even kept myself together throughout the Zoom call, because I was freaking out internally. Like, on the outside, I was like, smile and nod, look like a normal person. And on the inside, I'm like, I am interviewing someone, let alone Charles Vachter, the author of one of my favorite novels. And, sorry, I just hit stuff and paper. Ha! So, it was crazy. And I still can't get over the fact that it happened, because I think he emailed literally the day after I had put the interview section up on my publicity request page. So it was literally the day after, and I hadn't been expecting anyone to want to do an interview, let alone Charles Vachter. And it's still surreal to me, and I'm so glad I was able to do it. It was crazy, and, you know, if you haven't listened to that episode, go listen to it, because we had a really great conversation, and we talked for 40 minutes, and I actually sounded like a normal person. So, it was just crazy. I still can't believe it happened. But, jeez. Anyways, thank you for asking that question. I went down a whole line of just fangirling. And then adding on to that question, Awen asked, who else do you see yourself working with in the future? So I would love to work with other authors. I mean, it's crazy to me that I would potentially be able to. But I would especially love to interview or talk with some of my favorite authors, you know, Courtney Golds, Dean Koontz. I've read a lot of his books, and my mom, when she was a teenager, she read a lot of his books, and that's how I have some of his books, is because she kept those from when she was a teenager and then gave them to me. Paulette Kennedy, I would love to talk with. I mean, she's the nicest person ever. Nick Martell, he's the author of The Kingdom of Liars, which is a fantasy series, which I need to read the second book. I need to get it so bad, because I think the third one is coming out. And the first one I actually won in a giveaway, and it was really, really amazing. Those are just some authors. I mean, I would love to work with so many people, but those are just some off the top of my head who I would love to work with. An interview. I mean, they're all amazing. Thank you, Awen. Those are all the questions from them. Next, we have Christina's books, which they are from TikTok, and they're amazing. Definitely go check them out. I think it's literally at Christina's Books, Christina's, and then Books. She and Lila, actually, two separate people asked this, what are your favorite books? So, There are so, so many. And I actually have a favorite bookshelf on my Goodreads, and there's like 43 books on there. I don't really update it that often. It's just like immediately if I immediately finish a book and immediately go on Goodreads, I'll update that and put it in. But some of my favorites off the top of my head are And Then There Were None by Agatha Christie. The Dead and the Dark is literally my true love book, by Courtney Gold. Wire Wings by Ren Hanman was one of my favorites, and I still remember it so well. Obviously, The Twin Paradox by Charles Vochter. The Door to December by Dean Koontz. Parting the Veil by Paulette Kennedy. The Origins of Iris, which if you haven't listened to my review of that or read it, you can do that now. The episode and review came out Wednesday, and that is by Beth Lewis. And, Navigating Early by Claire Vanderpool is actually, that's the book that got me so into reading when I was little. Thank you so much to Christina's Books and Lila. And then Christina's Books actually asked another question. What are your favorite tropes? So I'm a huge fan of enemies to lovers, friends to lovers, ex to lovers, anything, something to lovers. But besides like the romantic, I guess all of these are romantic tropes, but like the only one bed trope, you know, like forced proximity, I guess. When one of the characters is injured and the other has to help them and take care of them. Anything where there's a quest that a character has to go on, I love that. Betrayal is amazing. A character being cursed is really cool to me. Like, it's not cool that they're cursed, I feel bad, but I like that in a book. Forbidden love is awesome to me. Love triangles, which, by the way, some tropes I hate are the unplanned pregnancy ones where it's like, oh, you woke up and it's like, oh my gosh, oh no. I don't like this, because kids. And I also simultaneously love and hate love triangles because they can be really awesome. But like, if you look at Twilight, where it's an obvious choice between Edward and Ed Jacob, and they're like, I really don't know who to choose. That's when it's really annoying, because obviously you gotta choose Edward, and I won't take criticism. Oh, I really hate the reluctant hero and chosen one trope, which is kind of funny to me because I love a lot of books with the chosen one trope. But when the reluctant hero and chosen one thing are paired together, it's like, I get you're 15 and you don't want to go into war, but you're chosen for this, dude. You kind of gotta. Why wouldn't you? Anyways. So, yeah, when those two things are paired together, I really don't like them. But, you know, some of my favorites, like I said, are a lot of dark, I guess, themes. But thank you, Christina's Books, for the two questions. Next up on the list, we have Alicia. I really hope I'm pronouncing your name right. I'm pretty sure they're on Twitter, and they have a blog. I just forget right now. Yeah, okay, so they are on Twitter. Alicia Thomas at Alicia00406406, and they run the blog Believe You. So thank you so much for your questions. So Alicia asked, what's the best compliment you've ever gotten? I honestly think anything complimenting my blog or podcast just makes me so happy because I work really hard on it. It takes a lot of my time. It's my brainchild, and I never really thought I would come this far, so I'm really proud of it, and I think when anyone ever compliments me on that or brings it up, I'm just like, thank you. What's your favorite childhood memory? Okay, so one of my fondest memories is whenever I would have to stay home from school because I was sick or, like, you know, not feeling good, whatever. My mom, who was a stay-at-home mom, would sit on the couch while I ate chicken noodle soup, and she would sit there with me, or, you know, wonton soup with sweet and sour chicken. She would sit there with me, and we'd watch old black and white TV shows and movies, or not even black and white ones, but just full on, like, old movies. You know, we'd watch Gilligan's Island, Wuthering Heights, Imitation of Life, a bunch of stuff, and we'd watch it together and whenever I was sick, and that was really awesome to me. If you could go back and give your 18-year-old self one piece of advice, what would it be? I think I would honestly tell myself to just slow down and live in the moment and not be so obsessed with the future. Because I was really, really worried about where I would go, from there and, you know, how I would be leaving high school and not going to, you know, high school anymore, not seeing people I was used to, kind of starting it all over, you know? And, if I could go back and tell myself something, I would definitely tell myself to just slow down and, like, live right now because tomorrow is gonna be entirely different. If you won $10 million tomorrow, what would you spend it on? First of all, me winning $10 million is not wise, because I would probably spend it on books. but, I don't know, maybe some clothes, some nice hoodies or jeans or something, you know. Some stuff for my parents, maybe a house for my parents. I'd renovate. Ooh, you know what I would get? I would get myself a 1970s Beetle. And a really good one, too. I would spend as much money as I had to on that Beetle because Beetles literally give me happiness, and they are my favorite car by far, and that is my dream car. Oh my gosh. Beetles, especially from the 70s, chef's kiss. I love them. What would be the title of the book about you if your worst enemy wrote it? You know what it would be? Maya doesn't remember the difference between it's without the apostrophe and it's with the apostrophe. I always get them messed up, like, constantly. It is constant. If you go back and you look at my reviews, I bet you any time, you're gonna see at least once IT apostrophe S instead of ITS, like it's supposed to be. My high school English teachers would literally despise me right now. thank you so much, Alicia, for the questions. You actually asked really, really cool ones that made me think about life, so. We have some from Lila, who actually asked earlier, too, what my favorite books were. So, first question, how did you get into reading? Okay, so like I said earlier, Navigating Early by Claire Vanderpool is the first book that I remember finishing and really loving, because up until that point, I had read a lot, but I had never finished a book because I would start a book, never finish it, start another book, never finish it. I'd read multiple books at once, and I would literally never just sit down and finish reading. Definitely fifth grade is when I actually started a reading log of what I would read, how much I would rate it, little mini review me. So fifth grade, for sure, was when I got into reading, and it was because I read Navigating Early by Claire Vanderpool that I realized I don't have to read the books I just have at home. I can read from the library and discover new books, and that is what really got me into reading. How did you decide you wanted to start a book blog? I was in May of 2020, I think, like all of us were. I was super bored. I stayed at home. I didn't really do anything. And I was really, really bored. And I was just like, I have nothing to do. I'm home. I didn't go anywhere. And I was like, well, what can I do? Because I also wasn't reading new books because I didn't have any. So I actually started off by, I was on TikTok, and I started getting more into book talk, and this was before I actually had, you know, my, like, TikTok for the blog at Maya the Bookworm. I saw these big book talkers, like, Kate's Books was one of my most, was one of the most inspiring people to me. Abby Books, I think, was it Earth to Gabby? A bunch of big book talkers, and especially Kate's Books, were the reasons why I was like, wait, I can get ARCs, can review books. This is fun for me. Because I didn't really have any friends that liked reading as much as I did. And when they did read, they didn't really talk about it. So I was really alone in my reading, and Book Talk offered kind of this little safe haven. So after I got into Book Talk, I actually, I started researching, you know, how do I start a blog? How do I review books? How do I get books? And found NetGalley and Edelweiss, I think is how you pronounce it. I started getting more into book talk. I started my own blog in May of 2020. I think it was like the 18th or something. And I requested a couple books on NetGalley. That's a lie. I requested like 15. And a lot of them got accepted. And I freaked out. And I was like, oh my gosh. Because I didn't expect to get any books at all. I was like, I'm just going to review books that I've already read. And then I started getting books that were new, that hadn't even come out yet, and I was freaking out, because I remember getting Queen's Peril by E.K. Johnston, and I've always been a huge Star Wars fan, and it was one of the books that I was really looking forward to, and I got to read it early, and I was so excited. That's pretty much how I knew I wanted to start a blog, is because I saw what other people were doing, and I thought to myself, well, why can't I do that? How did you get noticed so easily? So, Poppy just ran in the room. In terms of my follower count, TikTok and Twitter are amazing. But in terms of receiving books, NetGalley and BookSirens are kind of your best friend. And, you know, I am a pretty small book blog compared to a lot of people. But I also haven't been doing it as long, so, you know, I'm doing pretty nice, I think. But TikTok is really where my follower count got boosted. And then Twitter was also really, really helpful. Tumblr hasn't been as helpful because I don't understand it. And it's confusing. But definitely TikTok and Twitter have been really nice. And then, like I said, NetGalley is it. For those of you who don't know, it's this site where book reviewers, librarians, people who review books, which I already said, they can request books, and the publisher can either accept or deny the request, and you get a digital copy of it. I think they do audiobooks now, too, and you can read the book on the NetGalley shelf app, I think it is, or you can send it to your Kindle app, or Kindle, I think, where you can read it. And that is really, really helpful. But then Book Sirens is also one of those sites, but it's more for self-published authors. I've never seen big publishers on there, but it's really helpful because even if you don't request books on there, your profile is still on there and it connects to your Goodreads so that authors can see your statistics. Basically, how many books have you read? How many people have found your reviews on Goodreads helpful? Do you base your reviews more off the other people's ratings or how popular a book is or how long it is? But basically, even if you don't request books on there, authors can find you. So that's really, really helpful. So yeah, that's pretty much how I find books. And even if you look at new releases, you can even contact authors directly sometimes. It really depends. What is your favorite TV show or movie? So I actually have a lot of movies and shows and whatnot that I really, really love. Some of my favorite movies are Attack of the Clones, Star Wars, Scooby-Doo, specifically the one with Matthew Lillard, and the one where they're on the island. I think that's the first one. The Fear Street trilogy, Tangled, and Age of Ultron are some of my favorites. And in terms of TV shows, Stranger Things, Hardy Boys, and Outer Banks are really awesome to me. If you can't tell, I like mystery. So those are my favorite TV shows and movies. Next question. How did you read and review so many books in such a short period of time? So basically what I do is I try to get as many reviews done ahead of time as possible. That way I have as much time as to read as I can. Like when I'm on vacation, I'll bring a couple books and I'll read a whole lot. And after I've read all those books, I can come home and just speed review a bunch of stuff and get it set to upload. And reading books I like is really, really important because if I don't like the book, I'm not going to read it as fast as I would a book that I do like. So, yeah, that's how I review the amount of books I do. What is your favorite band and your favorite song? So, if you can't tell already, I am a huge ABBA fan. But besides ABBA, I think some of my favorites are definitely Aberdeen. They're this band from Texas. They're really awesome. If you haven't listened to them, please do. Their album Lamb is so amazing. Nirvana is obviously really, really good. The Pixies, Metallica, The Cars, The Clash, The Beatles, The Smiths, I've been listening to a lot recently. I'm trying to think of other ones I've listened to, like, religiously. Duran Duran, obviously, is, like, amazing. So, there's a lot of bands. I listen to a wide variety, if you can't tell. But my favorite song is definitely My Sharona by The Knack. I play that song on repeat. Last question from Lila. If you could live in any fictional world, where would you live? So this is really hard, and actually I'm not going to limit myself to books because now that I'm thinking of it, I literally cannot think of any fictional worlds that I would like to be a part of, because majority of them, they're dystopian. Like, I don't want to be a part of the Hunger Games. But definitely Star Wars, because, man, Obi-Wan in the prequels, ooh. Marvel, for sure. I can be a little spy, even though I suck at anything physical activity related. Like, I didn't do sports in high school. I walked around my house. Scooby-Doo would be awesome to be in. I could solve mysteries. Oh my gosh, the world of Horizon, like the game Horizon Zero Dawn. Oh my gosh, I could be best friends with Aloy. That'd be amazing. Pixie Hollow would be really cool. Like, you know, Tinkerbell. We living around with the little fairies. Oh, I'd love that so much. And then X-Men, because, or I guess that is included in Marvel. Unless I, well, if I were to say the MCU. So the MCU and X-Men. So just anything Marvel, I would love to. Because Charles Xavier and Eric Lindstrom, man. I probably did not say their names right at all. But whatever. Thank you so much for the questions, Lila. And last but not least, we have... Can you hear Poppy in the background? Because I can. We have Olive. So... They asked, what fictional character do you most relate to? So, I don't really have that many that I relate to, I don't think. Because if I were to say, like, Loki or something, that'd be kind of horrible. I guess I would say Tony Stark only because I take nothing seriously. Bruce Banner because I hate social interactions. Jonathan Byers, because, I mean, his music. But I don't think there's any others that, like, I really, really relate to. I don't think so. I really don't. So, yeah, Tony Stark, Bruce Banner, and Jonathan Byers. Except, you know, I'm not creating my own villains like Tony Stark. Anyways. So, what would you get rid of on the Earth if you could get rid of one thing? So, 100% spiders. I despise them. I despise them. The other day, I had a spider. My favorite hoodie, I was putting away laundry, right? And my favorite hoodie was sitting there on my bed. And I pick it up to go put it on a hanger and hang it up. Ow, I just hit my elbow. Anyways. And I go to hang it up. And I noticed that there's a spider on my bed. And it was this tiny little spider, but I don't care. It's a spider. And it, I'm standing there frozen because there's no Kleenex in my room. And even if there were, I would not have touched that thing. And this spider, this asshole of a spider, crawls down into the, you know, the crack between the footboard, I think it is, and the mattress, or my comforter. And it crawls down there. And I'm like, excuse me, what? Because if I try to, like, move the mattress to look down in there, there's no way the spider's gonna touch my hand. So no, I hate spiders. I would eliminate them from the earth if I could. And then final question of the episode from Olive, how do you start a blog/podcast? Okay, so what I did, which I do not recommend with what I did, what I did was I basically looked at what other people do and how they run their blog, you know, the official wording stuff, like what should you have? Should you have an about page? What should you include? Stuff like that. And I looked at different examples, found what, you know, I kind of mixed and matched what worked best for me, how I wanted my blog to look. And I used other people as examples, which I don't really recommend doing because then you kind of end up comparing yourself to other people's blogs, which not the best motivator when you're trying to get stuff done because you're like, well, so-and-so posts every day. And I only post once a week. So I don't recommend really doing that. But looking at what other people have and asking for help, too, is also really helpful. Because for people that aren't experienced and want to get into blogging or podcasting, you can ask more experienced people. And that was really what I did for the blog. For the podcast, though, I kind of just, I researched the best mics, I found Anchor, which was helpful. And that's pretty much what I did, and I just started recording. Because at that point, I had already had my blog for a year, so I knew how I wanted to do book reviews. It was just a different formatting of doing stuff. And like I said, I use Audacity to record and edit, and then Anchor is how I upload it and how it's distributed to different platforms. And both are free. All the stuff I use is free. I'm pretty sure what I use for my blog is WordPress, which is really helpful. There are, if you want to get super fancy and get your own domain and a bunch of stuff, you can pay for that. But if you're just, you know, you're just starting a blog, you don't really know if it's going to work well for you, WordPress is really nice because it offers all the essential options for free, and then if you really, really want to get into it, you can pay for it, but I still haven't done that. And then Goodreads has been another place that I've posted my reviews, just because it's prominently used. I also recommend, if you can, because I know Amazon's review policy has changed, but if you can, posting your reviews on Amazon really helps authors, so that's also really nice. But my biggest word of advice is definitely be yourself and don't hold yourself to others' expectations. You don't have to be as good as so-and-so's blog, and you don't have to do the exact same thing as so-and-so's blog. You know, it's not bad to take inspiration from people. That's what I did. But I definitely think being yourself and being really motivated and really, really liking to read books and review books, if you want to do a book blog or podcast, is really, really helpful, because if you're not motivated, you're not going to do it. If you've been blogging for a long time, you'll probably know what I'm talking about, but even if you really, really love blogging and it's your passion and you love doing it, it can be exhausting sometimes. Keep those things in mind if you do want to start a blog or podcast. And if you have any other questions, by the way, ask me, because I would love to help you guys. Because I know there weren't a lot of sources that I could look at, any amazing examples I could look at when I wanted to start a blog or podcast for what I wanted to do. Not that many book review podcasts out there that are active right now. I really think asking for help and looking at what other people are doing, but also being yourself and being motivated, are really, really helpful. So yeah, I think that is actually all we have for questions. This is a long episode, but it's the 20th. So thank you so, so much to everyone who sent questions in. Paper. Thank you so much to Eric, Eowyn, Christina's Books, Alicia, Lila, and Olive for sending questions. Thank you to everyone who's stuck around for 20 episodes or who's been here since I started the blog. You guys are insane and I love you all so much. Just thank you so much. And with that, I think this is the end of the 20th episode of Maya's Reviews, and a Q&A. Thank you so, so much for sticking around. You know, just, it's crazy to me. That is the end of the episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and if you did, please check out my blog, Maya's Reviews, at mayagreviews.wordpress.com. You can also find me at Maya the Bookworm on Twitter, Goodreads, TikTok, BookBub, and Book Sirens. I'm also on Tumblr at Maya Reviews. If you want me to review your book or want to come on the podcast to discuss a novel, maybe even just reach out to me or ask how to start a blog or podcast, you can email me at mayagbookreviews@gmail.com. I do ask that if you are reaching out in regards to a review request, interview, collab, or anything publicity related, that you check out my publicity request page on my blog first and then email me. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading!